Welcome to the Strength Talking Shop podcast. I'm your host, Matt Smith. We talk all things strength, coaching, fitness, nutrition, powerlifting, strongman. If it involves a barbell, we're going to talk about it. We are presented by Optimum Nutrition Athletics. We all know that protein is the key to muscle recovery, and Gold Standard's best-selling 100% whey protein provides 24 grams of protein that mixes easily using just a glass and spoon. Gold Standard 100% whey is made in their state-of-the-art facility. It's banned substance tested by Informed Choice. And with Optimum Nutrition Athletics program, you can get different items such as their Pro Gainer, which is their mass gainer, protein snacks such as their crisp bars, wafers, cake bites, and almonds. And after dominating the sports and nutrition industry for over 30 years, newly created Optimum Nutrition Athletics brings that same trust and quality that knows how to put convenient options for protein in the hands of athletes who desire to become bigger, stronger, and better at their sport. If this is something that you're interested in getting into your facility, reach out to Dave Harvey of Optimum Nutrition Athletics. Down in the show notes, he's got his email. Dave and the team at Optimum Nutrition Athletics are absolutely amazing. They'll get everything that you need. I use their products every single day. I use the Gold Standard 100% whey for my post-workouts, if I need something quick for protein on the go throughout the day. And also, if I need to grab a snack, I'll just grab one of the almonds, some of the cake bites, and then also the crisps. Absolutely love the crisps and the almonds. So make sure you reach out to Dave Harvey of Optimum Nutrition Athletics, and thank you for being our sponsor. And now for our guest this week, it is Sam Brown of Elite FTS. Sam is a wonderful person. On the episode, we talk about his story, how he got into strength and conditioning, how he got to where he's at with Elite FTS and what they're doing at Elite FTS, and how he trains his clients, and then just also some low-hanging fruit with strength athletes. I suggest you go follow Sam on social media, read his articles that are up on Elite FTS too as well. Support Elite FTS, the company that really helped me, my foundation of just learning. I go there probably every single day, if not frequently throughout the week. Dave and the team at Elite FTS have done a wonderful job. So thank you to Sam for being our guest this week. Make sure you give it 5 stars on Apple Podcasts for review. If you can share it with somebody, if you listen to it on Spotify, share it out. Interact with us on social media. Help grow this podcast. So thankful for everybody that has been a guest, everybody that supports the podcast. So thank you very much. And I hope you enjoyed this episode with Sam Brown at Elite FTS. Again, go follow Sam. Go follow Elite FTS. A lot of things every single day by them. And everybody, stay strong. What's up, guys? Strength Talking Shop podcast. Very excited to have the powerful Sam Brown, the director of performance at Elite FTS and Practice Movement and Recovery. What's going on, Sam?
Happy to be here. Thank you very much for having me on. This is awesome. It's still kind of weird hearing my name with Elite FTS and director of anything other than eating Oreos in my bed. Right? So it's cool. I appreciate the opportunity. I appreciate being on.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely like a bucket list guest for sure. We talked obviously before the podcast was recording, like I followed Sam before you started with Elite FTS, and he's somebody that...
Sorry about that, by the way. I had to watch that shit. Yeah.
You're talking about the like the things that came up hit you in the nuts, the bands. You know, it's like funny video, but man. So what kind of got you started in the weight room, Sam? Like I said, I followed you for a long time, but I'm interested, like, everybody has a story on how they get started in this madness of the iron.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I have always been the chubby kid in life. As I imagine a lot of people that jump into the weight room is very kind of a similar story, but I was always athletic, right? I was always playing sports. Baseball was my sport for my entire life. I played about 20 years. I played a little bit outside of college, but man, it wasn't really until about towards the tail end of college where I really got into training hard, right? Training correctly. Well, I wasn't even training correctly. I was training hard. Let's be real. I know nobody, when they jump in the weight room for the first time, it really does a really good job of programming. But I was training a little bit for baseball. Like, I would do the bare minimum. I would go to the team lifts or whatever, but I didn't really catch the bug, right? And then I started picking up kegs and stones, and I was like, what the hell is this thing? This is cool. This is a cool sport. And my buddy's like, yeah, this is strongman, this is what we do. I was like, wait a minute. So we'd like eat a lot, and like we pick up rocks and like logs and stuff. He's like, yeah, like that's just kind of what we do now. Like, this is great. I need to do all of this and more. So started really deep diving into, you know, the strongman competing. I competed a bunch and I wasn't very good initially, but just like anything else, right? Like you start something and you're like, wow, man, like I think I'm so good training in the basement of your buddy's house. You guys are roughly the same size and shape. And then you can actually go to compete against people who know what the hell they're doing. And you're like, oh, this is a different world. Fun fact, one of my first strongman contests, me and my buddy honestly drove out to Nick Showman's gym in Ohio. So from Rhode Island to Ohio to get absolutely stomped, just left, right, and center by the biggest, strongest Ohio boys I've ever seen in my life in a strongman contest. Yeah, I was right at Nick's place there. And it's so ironic how things kind of come full circle. It was like my first competitions was right down the road from where I'm at now. And it's like, oh, this is kind of weird how life works, right?
Yeah, that's so cool. It's so full circle, man.
Yeah, I mean, so the strongman thing, I got into that. I was training people on the side a little bit, but it was never like my main focus. But then everything started to shift, right? I ended up getting my master's degree in counseling. So like, I don't even have the same sort of background as most coaches do. But what I noticed is when I was working with the kids, the conversation always came up to like, what'd you eat for breakfast? And did you get to go outside today? Right. Yeah. And I had a couple little kettlebells and weights in my office as a counselor. And I would just have the kids just like hold them and like do squats with them when they were talking to me. And I would just notice, I'm like, wow, this, the physical side of this stuff is so underlooked at and underutilized when it comes to behavior, when it comes to health, when it comes to just overall well-being and life satisfaction. And it's like, listen, I'm in a good position where I can kind of work on both with people. So I'm like, right, we gotta do this thing better, right? So I kind of took that full circle and really deep dive more into the physical side of things, right? With the training and the coaching. And worked in a bunch of private facilities, just trying to build up my repertoire and, you know, utilize what I learned in school, utilize what I learned from my experiences and just try to help people feel better and move better, right? So that's right. It. And it's one of those things where like the training itself is so important for more than just the physical, right? It's like, we all want to get strong. We all want to look better naked. Like that's kind of a par for the course, but what happens to you between the years when you start developing in the weight room, when you start developing your strength, when you start developing even as simple as routine, is just something that I've really kind of locked in on. And I know I just went on a little bit of a tangent there, but I get all fired up, man. Yeah. I get all fired up. But to kind of circle back to your question, it was strongman. It was baseball. It was seeing how just a little bit of this stuff that we do in this weight room can make this stuff outside the weight room better, and start seeing those connections and start drawing those lines and being like, oh shit, like I don't know exactly what I'm doing in this weight room right now as a baseball player, but like if I put this bar on my back and I squat a few times, like, man, I hit bombs. So I'm just going to keep doing that thing. Right.
Right. So exactly.
Started super simple. It was very super simple. I had no idea what the hell I was doing, but man, it's led me here, and this is a weird journey, let me tell you.
But here's the thing though, like that's what I love. Like I love natural stories like that where it wasn't necessarily what you thought it was. Like when you're a kid, like sometimes you think, oh, I'm gonna be a fireman, I'm gonna be a police officer, whatever that's gonna be, right? Mm. It just kind of fell into you. But I think a lot of coaches and a lot of people like myself, they initially see like, oh, like we're lifting weights, like this is awesome, I'm around athletics. But then, like you said, the mental side of it comes into it. You start to see confidence in the people that mm-hmm. you're working with. Like, how awesome is that to see like the confidence of somebody that was completely in the dirt, and then now they come back to you like, I've lost 20 pounds, like my marriage is better, my work is better, all because you helped them in between the ears. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like we kind of just had a short little conversation before we started rolling, is like, when you're working with somebody who doesn't know their own capabilities, like they don't know what they don't know. And it's like, if you can utilize a physical means to help them with mental, emotional, or cognitive development, right? Like, that's awesome. You were able to connect with them on a level that they were unable to, or unaware that they were able to reach on their own. And I'm not saying what we're doing is like, it is. No, I'm going to say it. What we do as coaches and trainers, we have such a responsibility. You know, we're in such a powerful position to be able to facilitate a change in somebody that will not only help them physically, but like I said, mentally, emotionally. And you can really shift the life course of somebody by just building up a little bit of confidence, a little bit of strength, a little bit of resiliency. And all of a sudden, like, hey, this hard set of squats that we did, and now it's like, I'm looking at my life stressors. I'm like, oh, this actually isn't so hard.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you understand what you can go through. You understand what sort of situations you can put yourself under, the stressors you can feel, and you can bounce back. And it's like, oh shit. Like, I think people just don't realize how strong they can be.
Yeah.
You know,
it's cool. Cause like, for instance, like you think of like consistency, right? If you're consistently going in 2-3 days a week to, like you said, strain and work out, magically, like, let's say you do that over 6 months, over time, you're going to see changes. And then, like, I think of high school athletes, right? Like, they consistently work out throughout their 4 years. And let's say they go earn like a small scholarship. They might be the first person to go to college in their family, which then can change the trajectory of like their whole entire family. You know what I mean? Like, that's little small things that as coaches and trainers, you need to understand that can have a long-term effect with athletes and the people you're working with. You know what I mean?
And that's one of the things where, like, working with high school athletics as well, is I got some time to spend with some baseball guys and football guys. And I loved to be able to talk to them and really connect with them outside of the school. Right. So being in a private facility, like, you work with smaller amounts of people than you would like in a school setting. Right. As you know, but the interactions you can have is you really get to know these kids, right? You really get to see them walk into the gym and you're like, okay, they're probably having a bad day. You can tell by their demeanor. Like, maybe I'm not going to try to crush them today like we were supposed to, right? Yeah. Like, one of my favorite things is if a group of my athletes were kind of down and out, I'd be like, all right, I don't do this because this isn't what I do, but who wants to pick the music that's going on? And I was like, I'll let anybody pick anything. I was like, as long as it's not the most derogatory shit you can put on, like, we'll do it. And all of a sudden that shifts. They're like, oh, what do you want to put on? What do you want to put on? And now they're getting so excited. And it went from potentially like having a workout where everybody's like a 6 out of 10 to like, okay, well, now we're looking at 8s and 9s out of 10. And now they're excited to be there again. And it's like, this is the cool shit that not a lot of people talk about, is like, you can have such a direct impact, direct positive impact on everybody you work with from just being that person for them that they need at that time. Right. Yeah. It's like, you can see things like a coach and a trainer. We're so good at looking at the X's and O's, the reps and sets, volume, this, that. And it's like, yeah, we can utilize some of that information and we can even look at like how they come into the door. It's like, did they shake your hand? Did it feel like a dead fish? Like, or did it look like somebody kicked their dog? Like you have to utilize all this information.
It's true.
And you can positively kind of shift them into a more positive direction as well, even from workout to workout or session to session. But over the course of 6 months, a year, a couple of years, if you're lucky enough to work with somebody for that long. But no, it's a powerful position to be in. And I think conversations like this are important for people to remember that, because as you know, you were a strength coach as well. It's like, you get lost into the day to day. It's like, you get lost into the hustle and the bustle of the job itself because it's so hectic. It's like, when you're on, you're on, but when you're not on, you're not on. Right. And you don't want to, it's just like this crazy, like, magnetic flow of like, yes or a no, but there's gotta be some time to kind of reflect on the little things that kind of come with the position, you know?
Oh, 100% agree. 100% agree. It takes that time of reflection. I always tell coaches, like, get out of your office, get out of the weight room, and just like, go take for a walk and just like sit with a notepad and think about something. Like, that'll help you out tremendously. and talking, like having conversations like we are right now, like talk to other coaches, see what they're doing, everything like that. But you know, I kind of want to shift real quick. You know, obviously you've got this new role at Elite. What has that kind of been like going from, I mean, you were in Rhode Island to now you are in London, Ohio. What has it been like being at Elite?
Wow, man, it's been an absolute whirlwind, right? So I like to tell the story about, I moved across the country. I just packed up all my shit. If I couldn't fit in my car, didn't bring it, right? So I had a whole night, I'm sure you've seen from my Instagram, I had a whole nice garage gym set up, all my stuff, and I sold all of it. Just was like, well, I don't need it anymore. I'm going to go to Elite now. So that's like my new gym. Yeah. So anything that didn't fit my car, I didn't take. And fun story, Dave will probably kill me. I learned what my position title was going to be through the Instagram post of them, posting on their Instagram. I was like, oh, okay, that's what my name is now. Like, that's what we're doing. But first day I moved into Ohio, I didn't even move my stuff in. I just showed up right at Elite with my car full of shit. I just worked. I worked that first day. But it's been great, man. It's such an amazing opportunity. And I'm so grateful and thankful to be given this opportunity, because it's just like we had talked about with coaches and trainers. It's a chance for me to help spread good information, help to be in a position where I can help more people. And I was telling a few of my coaching buddies, I'm like, this position that I'm in is so cool because I get to showcase great people doing great things. And it's like, I at no point was ever going to be like, oh, I'm going to be like the big Elite FTS guy. Absolutely not. This has nothing to do with me. This is an opportunity that is so much bigger than me. This is so much bigger than anything other than just like, this is a chance to help the next generation of coaches, trainers, athletes, strength enthusiasts, everybody. Like, holy shit, we get to all up level together. Like, they get to see me learn things. And I immediately go, hey guys, you check that shit out. This is the coolest thing ever. Like, I am learning along with the audience. I am learning along with the other coaches and trainers that follow Elite FTS. And it's like, I feel like I will be the guinea pig for whoever wants to come and teach our audience something, right? Education is so important, and learning and experience is so important that it's like, man, I get to wake up every day and I get to help people learn. I get to learn myself, selfish. Like, I get to learn shit myself. Super cool. But even better, I get to share it. I get to allow people to have their feeling of coming into the compound. Like, I want people to see a video that I'm in or that I get to be a part of and to feel like, okay, I'm familiar with Sam. This is like talking in the same room. Like, this is like, I get to be a part of that experience. And I want to welcome in as many people as we can to learn from the amazing coaches and athletes that Elite FTS is involved with, right? And dude, it's the coolest shit. It's the coolest, because it's like, this is why I followed Elite FTS in the beginning, because it was like, I get to read the words and experiences of other people that are higher up in the industry, that have been doing this for years and years and years. And it's a means of getting into their brain for a short amount of time. That's what I do. Like, as a director of performance, it's the performance of not only the coaches and athletes involved with Elite FTS, but it's the performance of the future coaches and athletes that don't even know that this is the path they're going to go down. Right. Like, I didn't know. I'm talking to myself as a younger person, right? Like, I'm talking to young Sam, who's like, yeah, lifting's cool or whatever. But like, it's like, no, it's really cool. And you're going to love it. And you're going to change people's lives with it. And you're going to feel so great every single day because you get to have an impact on the world around you in such a positive way. And it's like, oh shit, man. Like, now I get to just have conversations with amazing people on podcasts. I get to bring people in to make videos together. I get to thwack myself in the genitals with a mini band every now and then. Like, it's like the dream come true, right? But it really is. I see it as a position to, it's like, this is nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with me. And people think I'm nuts when I say that, but like, no, like the first thing I did when I came in was I made a list. I'm like, all right, who do people need to know? Yeah. Who does the audience need to be introduced to again? Who do we want to bring in that has a message that will help so many people? I watched the questions that we get from the Elite FTS Instagram, from the email, from the YouTube. And it's like, okay, if they're asking a lot about the same person, let's bring them in. Let's see what we can do. But even not even just about followers or anything, like you don't need to have a massive audience. Like if you're doing something that's helping people, I'm going to find you and I'm going to be like, hey man, hey girl, hey woman, whoever you are, like come to Elite, please come here because you have an important message that needs to get shared with more people. And I want to be the one to help facilitate that. Because again, at the end of the day, it has nothing to do with me. Live, learn, pass on is not just a motto to sell minivans, right? Yeah. Like I have gone, everybody has a story. Like I love how you started this with a story. Everybody has a story. Everybody has experiences. Everybody goes through hard stuff. And it's like, we need to help those people around us who don't even know that they're going to go through hard stuff. Yeah. That don't even know what direction they're going to go down, right? Dave has mentioned to me many a times that we're planting the seeds for trees we'll never see the shade for, right? And it's like, cool, let's get real good at sharing awesome stuff over and over and over and helping as many people as we can, right? And I feel like a lot of the times the fitness industry gets a little bit selfish when it comes to followers and this and that. And it's like, oh man, like just help people. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Just help the people around you. Be the best you can so you can help more people feel better, move better, live a better life, whatever they want to do. It's like, take that seriously, right?
Yeah. I mean, do your best so you can help people be the best version of themselves every single day. And like the mantra you said, live, learn, pass on. I absolutely love that. It's something that like, you know, I found Elite way back in the day and like, I probably wouldn't have made this podcast or gotten into powerlifting if it wasn't for Elite. You know what I mean? Like it's crazy how you can have such a big impact on people's lives. And it's funny that you said you made a list of like who needs to be shared and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I did the exact same thing when I had this podcast right? because I just wanted to like, I noticed these people on maybe social media or maybe I read an article on Elite and I'm like, how has nobody like done a podcast?
Exactly. It's mind blowing, right? It's like, this stuff is so good. Like I just want to share what they're saying. Right.
Yeah. Like I had Chad Ikes on here, right? And I mean, I've read Chad's stuff forever. And I'm like, how come no one's had like a long form talk with him at all? Like he is.
You know who's coming into this? You know who's coming to the facility soon? Chad, because I want to talk to him. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm telling you, probably one of like, just a person that was, I was like, this is incredible. Like more people need to hear this and stuff like that. So, you know, what's it kind of been like with Dave? What are some stuff that you've learned from Dave? I feel like Dave is like this mythical creature sometimes in strength that people talk about.
There are days he is a mythical creature. That is for sure. he's been great. Like he's really allowed me to kind of figure things out, right? Like he's not one to just dictate like this is exactly what you're doing, blah 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 blah. Like him and Tracy hired me for a reason. I don't know what the hell that reason is, but I guess we'll figure that one out together. But they're very allow you to be very autonomous in the situation, right? It's like these are the goals, like these are the principles that we're trying to uphold. This is what the company stands for. Make it happen. It's like, okay, cool. Like it really is. It's a really awesome situation to be in because if I have any questions, I can obviously ask. Me and him sit down probably once a week or once every other week and literally just talk training, right? I train with him on the weekends, with the training crew and whatnot. And it's just, everything is always educationally focused. Like there's always a lesson to learn. There's always something to pick up. And he's someone that I've seen always kind of as a role model in terms of the industry and whatnot. But now I get to work with him day to day and I get to see like how he doesn't stop learning. Like he's constantly sending me articles and like we have access to all this, all these different things online of different groups and this and that. And he's like, here's my password. Go in there, look up whatever you want. Like spend so much time and money on education every single month that he's just like, no, just sign into my account. You can see whatever they're saying in their articles and their chat rooms and their this and that. So it's like this all access pass to as much information and education as I can. So I immediately go, okay, I will take this and immediately just like pass it on to the audience. So it's like, this is what we do. Like we just learn something and we kind of keep rolling with it. But it's great because he really is a wealth of knowledge. And we just did a couple podcasts the other day. And they're really starting to get good, right? Because as you know, like your first couple episodes of doing a podcast, you're like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Yes.
Right. So especially with like me and Dave and a guest, the dynamic is going to be very different than it's just me and Dave. So now we're really starting to hit our stride with the communication that we have and the conversations that we have on the podcast. And I think it's going to be really beneficial and helpful for people because we get so excited. Like we're talking and you can tell like when two people are having a conversation, they're like into it and it's like, it's exciting. It's invigorating. It's really what podcasts are designed for. It's to feel as you're part of the conversation. Right. Yep. So yeah, he's total wealth of knowledge, has a ton of experiences and allows me enough rope to get myself in trouble if need be. But just like with anything else, there's definitely like there's growing pains, you figure stuff out, but it's an environment for learning. It's an environment for growth. And it's amazing one to be a part of because no one knows more about powerlifting than Elite FTS and Dave Tate and like that whole crew. But even more so, he's open to have conversations with me about all the things I've done. Like, and he's told me, he's like, he's learned from me. And I'm like, that's a weird thing to say. And that's a weird thing to hear. Right? Like, we'll sit down and he'll ask me about stuff. And like, I have a different view on the same things, but he's always like trying to understand what that view is and like take things from it. So now it's like, we're doing this chess thing of like trying to learn from each other and like pivoting in the conversations and whatnot. But it's so beneficial because he will always ask more questions. Right. Yeah. And it's like, oh, I need to ask better questions myself. Like, right. Like it's, you see somebody doing this, that's been in the industry for so long, still reading every day, still listening to podcasts every day, still trying to pick things up and trying to, you know, just better themselves and their business and all this stuff. And it's like, okay, I'm going to do that too. It's going to be great.
It shows in the content as well. Like you guys, you talked about like, you know, the table talks have come back and like, honestly, like I love when it's just you two or a guest, it doesn't matter. I love any of those episodes, but you can really tell with like you guys feeding, like you said, back and forth, it is so dynamic. It's so fluid. There's passion behind it. But then two, you talk about the content, like anytime I have a question. So like, I really want to build my bench up here. So you know what I did the other day? I put it building the bench, Elite FTSing to Google. Right. Yep. And that there was a ton of articles that came up and I picked and pieced like, all right, I can look this. And I added that into my program and just read and just got more educated on it. Right. So they have literally anything that you could ever need as far as content and everything. And like, that's why I'm so thankful for Elite, thankful for Dave, thankful for what you guys are doing, because it's literally pushing the industry forward with amazing content and good education for others. And it obviously is because a lot of it's, you guys are continuously reading, continuously learning, you're asking good questions and everything like that. And it's what's going to help, you know, push things forward. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And it's just that the experiences that people have in their own lives, that it's like, we can learn so much. It's like, doesn't matter. Like I said before, like you're following, you're this, you're that. It's like people's experiences are real. People's experiences and education are valid. And it doesn't matter where they come from, what they're doing. Like you can learn something even from the worst stuff you see online in terms of like information, you can learn. It's like, okay, well, they were successful selling this thing. It's like, as a trainer or a coach, like you have to have some sort of information when it comes to sales and marketing. It's like, you can learn as much as it hurts your soul. Like you can learn something from that situation is how Booty Blaster 6000 sold 6 million copies. And you're like, what the hell is going on? It's like, how did this work? Right. And that was one of the biggest things that my takeaways from Dave is with this experience is the fact that it's like, yeah, you have a shitty situation or something looks really dumb. It's like, there's got to be something in there. There's got to be something in there you can take away from, good, bad, right, wrong, whatever. It's like you can learn from it. And it's those experiences that you learn from that you can then make better decisions going forward, right?
Yeah, 100% agree. As we kind of shift over here onto the podcast, I want to kind of answer a couple of questions that some people gave out as well. So, you know, one person asked, you know, what are some of the low-hanging fruit for strength athletes? What are some of those?
Sure. So this is actually a fantastic question. In terms of low-hanging fruit, right? So a lot of times, especially in my position, I'll get a lot of athletes that are like, oh, I want to do this program. I want to do this. What about this specific exercise? What about this and that? And they're like, I'm making progress, or I'm not making progress, or whatever. And one of my first questions I asked them is like, all right, are you sleeping? Are you eating food? What's your job like? What's the stress like, right? People always get a little bit kind of taken aback because they want to talk to me about like training or lifting. And it's like the last thing that I ask them about, right? So when I'm working with like a low back client, for the McGill stuff, let me just close it. Sorry there, phone. My first hour and a half is just getting to know them as a person, getting to know their situation, getting to know all the things that they think are not important, which end up being the most important things, right? So focusing on the basics aren't necessarily easy. Mm-hmm. They can be simple, but they're not necessarily easy, right? So making sure that you're hydrated, like drinking enough water, it sounds stupid, but it's like, you don't know how many processes in the body like require a certain amount of hydration. I put myself in the hospital with rhabdo because I thought I was way cooler than staying hydrated. Yeah, true story, 100%.
Wow.
It was awful. I would not suggest it for anybody. But it's those little things that if you don't, they don't add up, right? So Dr. Jordan Schall is one of my buddies. He always says the little things in the basics don't add up, they multiply, right? So what you're doing is if you're focusing on the foundational aspects of training or body composition change, it's like the nutrition, the sleep, the stress management, hydration, focus on those things. Get really, really good at the basics. Yeah. And all of the other stuff starts to become a little less important, right? Yeah. And that's one of the biggest issues that I kind of see with the industry, because a lot of the times you'll have a coach or a trainer trying to sell a thing, and they think like, okay, let's put all this focus on like, all right, 5x5 is the best program ever. There's nothing better than this. And it's like, okay, well, what about 6 reps? What about 4 reps? Right?
Right.
Like what? Like at the end of the day, it's like, okay, well, you can be doing 5x5s and not sleeping, not eating, and stressing yourself out as hard as you possibly can, and you're not going to get any better, right? So what I like to say is I like to treat it as like an example of like farming. It's like you can grow something, but if you have fertilizer and water and sunlight and all these other things, you're going to grow it a lot easier, right? And it's going to get a lot bigger. It's going to get a lot more robust. Right? It's like, stop trying to plant your seeds on a sidewalk. Like get some good dirt, get some good foundation under you, get some high quality cow shit, and you'll give yourself the environment to grow. I think people just get in their own way a lot of the times, right? I think it's a lot of focusing on the minutia when it comes to training, when it comes to anything really. It's like, we like to focus on the thing that'll make us 1% better or 0.5% better if we get to that certain level. It's like, okay. It's like, yeah. But if you start flipping over some of these big rocks, it's like, you'll get yourself 30% better with a whole lot less effort. Right. It's like, we just tend to focus on the wrong things because it's more interesting or it's sexier to, focus in on a certain rep scheme or a certain velocity, a certain this, certain that. But it's like, man, if you just slept more, that'd be pretty cool.
Well, it makes me think, I think it was something you maybe said on a table talk or you made a post about where you were talking about like, quit looking at like the 4-week program and like, think of like the 2 years down the road, like what's going to make you better for the 2 years, not just for these 4 weeks. Like if you can get the 7 to 9 hours every single night, and you consistently train and you're eating right, magically over those 2 years, guess what? Everything's probably going to get a little bit better, I'm assuming, right?
It's pretty cool. I mean, we spend, what, 1 to 2 hours in the gym a couple days a week. Like, that's a lot of hours we're not in the gym.
Yeah.
It's like if we spend so much time worrying about on the stimulus that will break us down, as opposed to worrying about all the stimuli that will build us back up. Right. Yeah. Someone's like, oh, I trained so hard. Yeah. It's like, yeah, you train so hard, but you recover so hard. You know, like, do you give yourself the time and the space to actually build up based on the stimuli that you give your body? It's like, oh no. Oh, okay, cool. Just keep digging your hole. That'll be fine. It'll be great. And it all comes from a pretty good place, right? Like, you'll see a lot of younger athletes that are just all gas, no brakes, right? They're just like hammering out in the gym. They're sprinting up hills and pushing sleds and just not give themselves the time to breathe. And it's like, that works when you have tremendous amounts of hormones rushing through your body when you're younger. But like,
yep.
Once things start to kind of plateau out a little bit, it's like, you'll find that, okay, then they get hurt and then they don't recover. And then all of a sudden, what started off as a trajectory as like an athlete, now they're shifting away from that because they're like, ah, my body's broken. It's no good. It's like, no, you just never really learned sound principles on how to train and recover and realize that like, you're not getting bigger and stronger in the gym. You're getting bigger and stronger when you're sleeping and eating outside of the gym. Exactly. Like, you need to have, so it's those low hanging fruit for a lot of people are, it's all the boring stuff that most people don't think about or don't want to think about. But it's also that consistency, right? We had mentioned that before, is having a less than perfect, there's no such thing as perfect when it comes to training,
right?
Less than perfect plan done consistently will get you tremendous results, tremendous, especially if you weren't doing anything. If you're telling me you're just going to go into the gym and like, just like move something heavy for certain amount of reps, certain amount of sets, whatever. It's like, okay, cool. Do that for a while. Make sure you eat enough. Get some good sleep, drink a few extra glasses of water and call it a day, man. People think that simple is not worth focusing in on. It's like, man, if you can do simple really, really well,
yeah,
you're going to go so far and you're going to feel so much better.
I 100% agree. Do you find that maybe some of the people you've worked with in the past or you get questions on, they, like you said, they kind of get in the way of like maybe complicating things just a little bit too much?
Yeah, there's just a ton. And I mean, Elite FTS has a ton of information on any particular topic you want for any particular sport, any particular season. And if you're sitting there just reading that information, it's like, it's easy to get overloaded, right? It's easy to get the paralysis by analysis. And it's to kind of just be in a situation where you don't know which end is up and you don't even know where to start.
Right.
It's something that you really need to focus in on if you're either a newer athlete or a newer lifter or just someone who's been doing this for a while and just finds themselves stuck, is you need to not only read the information that's out there and gain the external knowledge, you need to gain the internal knowledge of experience to be able to compare those things, right? So I can write an article on whatever, but like it's still at the end of the day is not written about you and your situation. It's just information based on my experiences and what I've seen through my clients, my athletes, the people around me, whatever. It could be way different for you, right? Like, yeah, if you find that 10 by 10, that's going to get everybody big and strong. It's like, yeah, maybe, I don't know. Maybe you just don't have enough time and you need to do something different. Like, people need to kind of separate the, and this is going to sound crazy from someone at Elite FTF, separate the information they read and absorb with the information they gain on their own. And you need to be able to combine those two. If you don't combine those two, you're going to be left not hitting your goals or not even hitting your potential because, again, you don't know what you don't know, right? So I can spend all day reading articles and gain all this external information, but when the rubber hits the road, I don't know how I'm going to react to it. I don't know what will actually be worthwhile for me, my schedule, my particular situation, right?
Yep.
And it's just those, you got to combine those two. And that sometimes you just have to go a direction, just walk just whatever that direction is, go in that direction, give it 6 to 8 weeks. People are jumping from program to program. It drives me insane. And they don't ever see the benefits that come from their consistency, yeah. You know? And that's tough.
It's very tough. It's very, very tough. And I love that you talked about like getting in the trenches. Like as a coach, you need to get in the trenches yourself and just train and see what works, right? So like, for instance, let's say you read this article online or from a book and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to do that. And you go do it in your weight room and athletes are running into each other or too much equipment's being used on this side and they're doing this and that. It's like, okay, that didn't work because why didn't you try the program out beforehand? If you would have maybe done it yourself, maybe run through it, you would know like, okay, these obstacles are going to get in the way. And then two, like you talked about earlier in the podcast, which I absolutely loved. It's like, what if like, instead of doing 5x5, you did like 6x4 or 8x3 or something like that. Right. Like for instance, Rhodes and I had this conversation where I'm not really, speed work's not really my thing. Cause I'm already pretty explosive as it is. Like I'm a person that needs to learn how to grind. He's like, so you probably should program more of that stuff than the speed stuff. Right. And magically, guess what happens? I learn how to grind.
Weird.
And it carries over a little bit more into what I'm doing, right? So
yeah,
I 100% agree, man.
Yeah, it's funny. You can tell someone that you can tell someone's experience with coaching and training based on the programs they write, because if it's like, okay, well, everybody's going to do this complex with this weight and this rep scheme with this machine, it's like, how many glute ham raises do you have? How many medicine balls do you have? How many barbells do you have with bumper plates? And how many of your athletes know exactly how to Olympic lift? It's like, I would see things and I'm just like, ooh, 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 this has never been tested on human life forms before. This is all theoretical, right? Because you know, like you're working with a room full of people and it's like, okay, you need to balance your efficiency to get the job done for the tasks for the day with the overwhelming chaos of dealing with humans whom are so wildly unpredictable.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, maybe doing all this Olympic style work for this particular demographic is not great.
Yeah.
Right? Equipment limitations, time limitations, space limitations. It's like, okay, well, not only that, but I have a room full of athletes that can't stand on one foot. What am I going to do having them to try to be explosive when they can't even control their own bodies or have any sort of spatial awareness, you know? Yep. So it always kind of comes back to taking the information, picking out the stuff that you can benefit from, and kind of just putting the rest to the side until you need it another time. And you may not even need it.
Plus two, if it's working, like we talked about this beforehand, if it's working, why do you need to change things up? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, we're here to get people better at their sport or better at their whatever they want to get better at. It's like, this isn't like the entertainment. Like, we're not television, right? We're trying to get people better for a goal, right? When you're dealing with like a general population client and you're like a personal trainer or whatnot, like you need to have some sort of entertainment value because that's a different population, right? But when you're dealing with athletes in a sports setting, it's like, hey guys, like this is us eating our vegetables, right? Like we got to do our thing. Not all of it's going to be super fun, but at the end of the day, your fun is coming from your sport, right? Your enjoyment is coming from your sport, and the training doesn't have to be totally monotonous and terrible. But at the end of the day, it's like this, your goal is to get better at your sport, man. Like that's what we're doing. And I'm not trying to just entertain you for several hours a week, right?
What does Dave say? Like the weight room is GPP.
GPP, yep, sports. Absolutely.
I absolutely 100% agree with that. Like that is so true. Like I have this great, I think I've told on a podcast before, but like this is such a great example of that. Is like Coach and I, we decided, all right, we are going to hammer power cleans because we had not done it with the athletes. We're like, we're going to just give it a try, right?
Yep.
And we would spend 15 minutes during the workout going through a progression. We worked our way up to where they could do a full power clean at about 70 to 75%. All hell broke loose with any kind of form of the athletes, right? So guess what we did? We said, okay, that was a failed experiment. We took it out and we put in some different movements that we could get the same triple extension out of, right? Magically, that part of the exercise took 5 minutes versus the 15 that was taking to teach them. So we had an extra 10 minutes to where they could potentially either leave, or if we needed to maybe do a little bit more on something else, we could add a little bit more time. So it's all about like that give and take with everything. Like you have to know your athletes, you have to know your demographic, and you have to know where you're kind of going on this roadmap of working out with them. So
absolutely. Yeah. And it's, and as a coach, like you're, like we talked about before, you're in that pole position. Like you're the decision maker, right? Like
I love that.
Right. Like you're the one that is going to really push the needle one direction or the other, but at the same time, like you have to deal with a room full of people. People are unpredictable, right? One of the things that I learned, I think I learned this from Nate Harvey. If he had like a hard workout with his athletes or whatnot, and it's like they did the work, like it wasn't particularly fun, he would end like the last 5 minutes with just arms, right? Wow, and they would get smart. So pumped. And I would just, and so I started doing that too. I started doing that with a lot of my older general population clients who are just like, who wanted to do one thing. They're like, oh, I just love it when I do Aerodyne sprints. I'm like, okay, first off, nobody loves that. That sounds terrible. But
no,
but like most of the times it was like arms, or I wanted to get another set of legs. It's like, okay, we do all this work. Boom. Last 5 minutes, wide open. I'll set them up with an arm farm. Just like a couple bands, just blow them up. And then like they leave, they're like, just like checking themselves out. They're so excited. And all of a sudden you took this training session that was, it could potentially be like miserable for them. And now it's like, all they can think about is this sick arm pump they're leaving this room with. And Now it's like, oh, this is great. This is perfect. Like, this is how we do it. You know,
such a small thing that can go such a long ways with someone, you know?
Absolutely.
You as a coach or the trainer, guess what? You're still getting the results at the end of the day, and they're going to have fun, and you're going to have longevity with them in the long term, right? That's what we always want.
Yeah, and frankly, the last thing they remember is that last 5 minutes anyway. Like, they're not going to remember like the mobility stuff that you did. They're not going to remember the hard set of squats. All they're going to remember really is just like, oh, I finished with arms, or like I had clients that just wanted to get tired. It's like, okay, like, I'll just crush you for 5 minutes. And then they leave, they're panting, they can't even breathe. And they're like, this was the best. And it's like, yeah. Like, and it was really just 5 minutes. Like you're not going to screw up any sort of training plan in 5 minutes, you know? So that was always something I utilized.
I love that you utilize that too, as well, because you're there and you can control that, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just them by themselves. Cause you see that all the time. If you were to go into like any kind of gym, you see that one guy who it's just killing themselves with every single workout. And you're like, man, like this is chaos every single workout. If you maybe had a trainer, they could help you understand when that chaos is going to happen. Right.
Absolutely. And it's you really have to focus in on like in those situations, like exercises that are more output focused as opposed to like skill or technique focused. Like I wouldn't put somebody under a barbell and just have to go like, oh, we're just going to do a set of 20 here. It's like, no, their form's going to break down. There's so many limiting factors. Like, that's no good. They're going to hurt somebody. But it's like, okay, well, I'll just load up this selectorized leg press machine and just do like drop sets. And it's like, you're in full control of the situation. They feel that exertion. They feel that tired. They feel that burn they're looking for in a controlled environment where they're not going to hurt themselves. And they can really just put that gas pedal down and feel like a superstar. And then like walk out feeling accomplished and feeling great. And that's like, it's a win-win. And it's like, really, all we did, we just got a little extra volume in. Like that was it. And it was controlled and I was in charge, right? I can kind of monitor what they're doing. Yep. So kind of it's like hiding the pill in the peanut butter for a dog.
Yeah. Very, very true. I love that, man. I love that. That's such a great analogy right there. You had a really good post where you were talking about progressions and how it's, and I loved it because I get in this argument all the time with, well, I wouldn't say an argument, but I get in this disagreement with people about like, they're like, oh, I'll just add 5 pounds on. It's like, well, there's other ways of having progressive, you know, having progression. Can you kind of dive into that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we tend to think in a very linear world when it's like weight on the bar. Like is the weight on the bar going up? It's like, okay. One of the biggest things that I do when I'm working with either low back clients or any of the athletes that I've worked with is like, okay, we need to understand where you're starting. What is your starting position? I'll use an example of this. If, for example, they are not able to barbell back squat, just based on their mobility issues or their just the coordination issue. Like, it's just not there, right? Not everybody needs to do that. Coming from an elite FTS guy, I'm sure that sounds strange, but not everybody needs to do that. And it's like, okay, well, what are we trying to accomplish? We're trying to accomplish some sort of lower body strength movement that will allow them to move through a certain range of motion and build up some strength in their lower body. It's like, okay, well, why can't we just do a goblet squat? It's like, okay, well, they may not be ready for that. It's like, okay, well, then we may need to do a counterbalance squat where they're holding something out in front or holding on like a Hatfield style squat. It's like, you need to really figure out where your client is, like really is, in terms of skill, in terms of coordination, in terms of any sort of strength development, right? Stability, mobility, all of these things that go lead into or come from some sort of a assessment that you take these clients or athletes through. And you really need to start accordingly. Not everybody's going to start in the same place, right? Not everybody's going to start with the same variation, the same weight, the same reps, the same this, the same that. I think a lot of times coaches and trainers will start to develop their own system, which is great. I'm all for systems and streamlining things. But you also have to realize the variation between someone's starting position and what their goal is, right? For example, if someone, we're looking to develop lower body strength and they're not ready to back squat, they're not ready to do anything particular like that. It's like, okay, we need to be able to progress them somehow. It's like, okay, well, if they can only leg press, like, okay, we start with the leg press. We can develop weight. We can change the tempo. We can change, we can add pauses. We can control their breathing during the exercise. We can control the amount of time they're doing the reps for. Like, there are so many different variables when it comes to progressing somebody, even utilizing the same piece of equipment, right? Which I think is something that home gym owners should really focus in on. Because if you're not going to be able to have a ton of equipment, a ton of different variations in terms of machines, in terms of equipment you have available for you, it's like, you need to understand how you can better progress an exercise. You can progress with tempo. You can change how long you're doing a set for. You can turn things into cluster sets. You can change the weight on the bar. You can add bands. You can add chains. But you can also change your center of gravity. You can change where the weight is distributed on your body. Holding something out in front is going to be a different stimulus than holding something on your back. Holding something on one, like farmers, you can do unilateral farmers. You can do like suitcase carries. You can hold the weight up in front. Like, you can progress in so many more different ways than just like heavier. Heavier is only one variable, right? Understanding like, okay, if you're doing goblet squats, now maybe you can progress to holding the weight in one hand and doing a unilateral kind of a squat. Right now it's like, okay, base of support is changing. Now we're going to go from two legs to one. Now you're dropping the weight way down. You've increased the difficulty, but now you're in a position where they have to learn this new stimulus and you don't use any weight, right? Now you can progress that even further, right? It's these runways of progression that I think coaches need to take time and kind of think about, because like, if you just keep loading weight, then there's always going to be an endpoint.
Yes. Right?
There's always going to be an endpoint. And that when you reach that endpoint, there's going to be frustration.
Exactly. Right?
Because if your client or athlete has been trained by you to think that the weight on the bar is the only important factor, mm-hmm. you've just limited yourself to their potential, you know?
I 100% agree. As a home gym owner, I had to learn this the hard way. You know, we talked before the podcast, I have a barbell, I have some weights, I have a glute ham hyper combo, and dumbbells, I think they go up to maybe 60 pounds. So mm-hmm. One of my accessories was goblet squats, like you talked about, and I could only progress it up to 60 pounds. That's the highest I could go. So I had to figure out another way. So I thought of, okay, maybe I could do tempos, or I could hold
which it. Which is miserable. Way.
Yeah, it's a thousand times. And like, you'll have like I had 30 pounds on there, and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna die. Like, I remember physically think I'm gonna puke over 30 pounds. Mm-hmm. Whereas the week before, I had done 60 pounds for reps, right?
Absolutely.
But I just slowed the tempo down. It's such a, I think it comes with experience, man. That's the only way that I can really say that I found it personally was just through experience.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I tell coaches and trainers as well is, is everybody is so like progressive overload is super important. That's how we get better, right? But there is a certain case for people doing a weight and a rep scheme week one and just being better at that same weight and rep scheme week two. That's a level of progression for me, because I will ask them, I'm like, okay, like I will program in, it's like, all right, we're going to do the same weight and the same rep if they struggled with it. I'm like, oh, we're going to do it again. They'll be like, oh man, I did three more reps this week. I was like, yeah, the weight didn't change in the reps and you did a few more reps. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. I was like, yeah, you got better at it, right? You got better. You got better with the same. We didn't even have to change anything and you got better, right? But I think the idea is that for, especially for like online coaches and trainers, is we're not there in person to see them all the time, right? You can get videos, you can do all that stuff, but you need to be able to have that conversation. I know that you had a great chat with Casey Williams, and I was listening to that the other day. Super cool. And it involves that communication. So if you're in a position where you can't physically see how they do something, you need to be able to ask some better questions. You need to dig deeper with the information that you gather and start kind of probing at like how that actually felt. Because as a coach or as a trainer, if your goal is to get somebody stronger, if you can get a response or a stimulus to positively impact them without changing so many variables every single week, you have progressed not only that athlete, but you have prolonged the amount of progressions that you can utilize, right? Mm-hmm. The amount of tools in your toolbox. Because if you're like, all right, just more weight on the bar, if that's the only tool you have for progression, you're, like I said, you're going to run out of runway. You're going to run out of places to go. It's like, I use the example, if you're trying to lose weight and all of a sudden you cut your calories down to 1,000 a day, you only do hill sprints and you're taking all sorts of ephedrine, right? Like, where are you going to go from here? Once you stop losing weight, like you got no tools. You just handcuffed yourself. So it's the idea of kind of having the minimal effective dose. It's like, can we get a positive impact with varying the smallest amount of things? And then we can slowly vary more and more things over time. If you just drop that ace card on the table week two, you're like, you're going, man, kind of screwed. This can only go so far, you know?
Yep. That's going to be a long prep. You're going to be pretty miserable.
Yeah, that's a long, you're going to have to cut off a leg. Like, I don't think we're going to lose much more weight.
Yeah. As somebody that was heavier and when I've lost all my weight, it was a talk on Elite FTS. It was John Meadows. He talked about exactly what you talked about, like your cards, like how many cards are you going to play at once? If you play all four of them, like it's going to be pretty tough for you to be able to sustain this and to have it long-term. But I love that you talked about just basically through like this podcast is like consistency and then just understanding and educating yourself. If people want to go out and learn from you guys at Elite FTS, how can they find you on social media, internet, whatever it is?
Absolutely. So you can follow us at Elite FTS on Instagram, EliteFTS.com, Facebook, Elite FTS. It's Elite FTS everywhere. Yep. My personal is at Sam Brown Strength. Feel free to ask me any questions. My email is sbrown@eliteFTS.net. People don't know this, but like you can email me and I'll like answer questions. Like it's really like, it's kind of a crazy thing nowadays, but like shoot me an email. If you have questions about training or something, like I'll give you any information I know or like send you in the right direction.
I love it, man. And I will say this as an Elite fan, like go buy their equipment, go buy a t-shirt, go buy their bands, go buy whatever. Like I just got the shoulder saver pad, used it in my bench workout yesterday. And man, my triceps are fried today.
It's a game changer. That's for certain.
Yeah, for sure, man. Well, we'll get you out of here on the last question of the day. It is going to be, what are you grateful for, Sam?
Hey, I truly am. First and foremost, I am grateful for this opportunity to chat with you, Matt. This is something that is very, very important for the industry. Your ability to make a guest feel comfortable. Like you are a natural host for certain. You're doing exactly what you need to be doing. You're doing an absolute bang up job. I've listened to your other episodes. Honestly, I'm like been running through since you asked me. I'm like, I'm just going to listen to all these. These are great. And you do. You have a natural gift for this and you are doing the right thing and you are in the right place. So grateful for that opportunity. I am also grateful for the opportunity and the situations my life has afforded me. Grateful to be a part of Elite FTS, grateful to be in a position where I can really help the next generation to be able to help bridge the gap from the past Elite FTS to where Elite FTS is going now. I just want to help more people, and I'm so grateful and thankful to be in that position to kind of help facilitate that. And if I have to whack myself in the genitals with a mini band every now and then, man, I'll do it. I'll do it for the team, right? I'll do it for my boys. But like I said, I appreciate being on here. I appreciate where I'm at in life. I appreciate all the amazing opportunities that I've been gifted. Thankful every single day. And hey, man, that's where I'm at.
I love it, Sam. Keep putting out that great content, man. Like I said, I've been a fan for a very long time. Those words were warm my heart, man. So I thank you very much, Sam. I appreciate you being on this week. Look forward to everything that you guys are going to put out. And again, thank you so much, man.
Thank you. My pleasure.
All right, everybody. You know the man, Sam Brown. Go follow him. Blow up his email box with questions. And everybody, stay strong.